Do your best to stay with me while we read, please. In its advantage, it's a story that we all know very well and is very familiar. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, whilst Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Thank you, Tony. Right, so we're going to sing 161, "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory." Let's stand and sing that. About 5 minutes into the service, I realised I hadn't turned my phone off, so I just switched it off. But actually, my new call signal is a duck quacking, so it might have been quite appropriate to what we've been saying earlier, but it is switched off. So it's that time of year when buds are out, magnolias in people's front gardens, flowers everywhere, sun is shining, and everything's looking good. I regularly drive up Western Road in Sompting, which is very different from the Western Road here. Most of it is bungalows. But on pretty well every street corner, there are clumps of daffodils, bursts of yellow, and they really lift our spirits, and we think the winter is over and something good is coming. We talked earlier with the young people about new life in Jesus Christ, and that is what the reading really is focusing on that we had this morning, that was so well read to us by Terry, my mind goes, Tony, sorry. It was incredibly long, and it's the second time doing a service recently that I've had to do a very, very long reading, but it's there in the lectionary, so I still do it. What I didn't do was the Ezekiel 37, 1-14. Reading, which is about dry bones having new life put into them, a reading that is probably very familiar to some here. But in our reading today, Jesus was in Jerusalem just before the events of John 11. And the Jews wanted to stone him on a charge of blasphemy because he had said that he was God's son. I'm going to read, actually, a little bit from there, just to put it in context. So I'm reading chapter 10, verses 31 to 39 from the New Living Translation, which makes it a little easier to understand without any further explanation. Once again, the Jewish leaders picked up stones to kill him. Jesus said, "At my Father's direction, I have done many things to help the people. For which of these good deeds are you killing me?" They replied, "Not for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, have made yourself God." Jesus replied, "It is written in your own law that God said to certain leaders of the people, 'I say you are gods.' And you know that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when the Holy One, who was sent into the world by the Father, says, 'I am the Son of God'? Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in what I have done, even if you don't believe in me. Then you will realize that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Once again, they tried to arrest him, but he got away and left them. So Jesus went to the other side of the River Jordan, which is a journey of about 30 miles. And there he continued to teach the people who came in large numbers. Then he was given news that a close friend of his, Lazarus, was sick. Now, Lazarus lived with his two sisters, Martha and Mary, and they sent a message to Jesus to say that Lazarus was sick. They didn't ask that he visit them, though. They knew him well, and so they left that decision up to him. They knew something of Jesus that we do well to remember, that he acts in his own time. Sometimes we want to see answers to prayer immediately, but God's timing is not ours, and we need to be patient for answers. But when Jesus heard the news, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Although he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for two more days, teaching the people there. Bethany, where they lived, was very near to Jerusalem, only a few miles, in fact. So Jesus knew that going back that way would be heading into dangerous territory for him. And that was because of the Jewish leaders. But that wasn't going to stop Jesus. And although his disciple Thomas would have been very fearful in this situation, he nailed his colours to the mast when he said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." The route of many a follower of Jesus Christ over the past 2,000 years who understood that their own mortal life might need to be sacrificed for the greater glory of God's kingdom. During the conversation he had with his disciples, there arose the use of the word asleep, which means died. It was a polite way of talking about death, rather like our way of saying passed away or passed on. And it appears in both the Old and New Testaments a number of times. But it still could cause confusion if the context wasn't totally clear. So Jesus had to spell it out to them. He had to spell it out to them. "Lazarus is dead," he said. By the time Jesus arrived at Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Because of the heat and what it does to a dead body, it was the Jewish custom to deal with the burial as quickly as they could. The funeral was attended by as many people as possible, with a big procession joined by all who knew the person. Then there was a week of deep mourning, the first 3 days of which were days of weeping. That week was followed by a further 30 days of lighter mourning. So there would have been many people surrounding the house of Martha and Mary, quite a crowd. When Martha was told that Jesus had arrived, she made her way through this crowd to a place outside the village where she could meet with Jesus. Unlike her sister, Mary, who stayed inside the house, Martha was the proactive one. So she said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." A reproach, really. But she did qualify it with words of belief in him. "But I know that even now, God will give you what you ask." She had faith. It does happen, doesn't it, that we say something to God that things have not happened as we wanted. We have our plans and our timing for them. And all we asked for was his seal of approval and his blessing, when the better way is to make our desires known to him and then put ourselves into his hands and be patient. He knows better than we do what is best for us. Jesus replied to Martha with words of assurance, "Your brother will rise again." Martha assumed that here he was talking about eternal life when she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." So showing again her faith. In verse 25, we read that Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." When a bit later Mary met with Jesus, a bit like Martha, she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." What then follows is a display of the humanity of Jesus, although as divine, he knew what would soon be happening. We are told that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and that he asked where Lazarus' body had been laid. Then there follows the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, although it was different as read to us by Tony, a few more words in, but the NIV says, "Jesus wept." Just those two words, "Jesus wept." In Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, which is about the sincerity of love, we're told to mourn with those who mourn. And Jesus was living this out before it was written. A voice came from the crowd. "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Which is another indication of the divine presence in Jesus that was recognized by the speaker. When Jesus got to the tomb where Lazarus had been laid, he expected to go in, but was told by Mary that the body had been there for 4 days and there was a bad odour. Such polite wording these translators have. I do wonder if the original Greek might have been a bit more direct. Jesus replied, we read in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Then Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus emerged from the tomb with a crowd watching, covered in the grave clothes, which Jesus told some of the people to remove and then let him go. Lazarus, who was dead, has now been brought back to life. Now we understand why Jesus had delayed for 2 more days before coming to this tomb. After 4 days, there is no argument that he might just be, that Lazarus might just be in a coma or something. Jesus had displayed his divinity and the fact that he was the Messiah. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die," here he was talking about our spiritual being and the new life that Jesus brings through faith in him, the understanding that our sins are forgiven and that we are loved immeasurably by him, and that our real home is with him in heaven for eternity. All those things which were barriers between us and God are taken away. Our failure to love God with all our heart and soul and mind, which means having a desire to live for self and actually doing so. And our failure to show love to those around us in the wider world. There's a very familiar hymn, and if you were at Alan Saunders' memorial service, it was read out, and there are some verses here which just say what this new life is in Jesus Christ. This is hymn number 345, written by Charles Wesley, and I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, and then 3. So, new life. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. And how did this come about? We'll go back to verse 3. He, Jesus, left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. The joy of trusting in Jesus, the peace that the knowledge of his love and forgiveness brings. New life in Jesus Christ. Jesus changes lives. So we're going to sing 323, which is very much about that. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left the realms of glory for the cross of Calvary. Let's stand and sing that together.